Dan, have you not finished with the tree yet? I need your help in the kitchen. The turkey needs basting, and the pigs in blanket look flaccid.
Well, it's not the first time you've looked down and seen something flaccid, is it, Joe?
Oh, stop fondling that angel, will you, and get in here.
Don't get too jealous, or she might become my new co-host.
Hurry up, the guests are arriving soon.
Oh, no, they won't.
Oh, yes, they will.
Oh, Joe, I'm so looking forward to having everyone around and celebrating Christmas how it should be, socially distanced and terrified of each other.
Yeah, what a cracking bunch of guests we've got for our Christmas special. We've got our Welsh wonder, Gary Sleighmaker, who's actually arriving on his very own sleigh.
Oh, I wonder where that sleigh went. We've also got Hamish joining us this evening, all the way from Ireland. Rumour has it he's decided to emigrate because of the damage Artemis Fowl has done to the local community. Our thoughts and prayers go out to him at this time.
And Clarice and Emily have actually been flown on Christopher Nolan's private jet all the way to Cardiff. Specifically, Nolan heard the podcast. He's a big fan of them both. He allowed them to have access to the private jet, even though obviously he's very, very angry at Warner Brothers at the moment.
Yeah, thank you, Nolan. I think I just about managed to figure out what he was saying. And last but not least, David Oscar from Well Good Movies, our good friend. He's going to be joining us. Let's hope he has a well good time this evening.
Let's hope so. But Dan, before they all arrive, I just want to give you your first present of the evening. Here you go. I'm going to rustle some stuff now and pretend I'm actually giving it to you through Zoom. It's very small, but don't let that. It's not the size that matters, all right? It's not the size that matters. It's the thought that counts.
Absolutely, Joe. And I'm just feeling it right now. I can already tell it's going to be such a lovely. Oh, goodness me. Here we go. Okay, I'm a bit nervous. Oh, goodness me. Oh my gosh! Oh my goodness! He's done it again! He's done it again! Good old Nick Cage has come down that chimney, and he's given me a jolly old Saint Nick mask to wear, but just so I don't get any COVID.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
Joe, thank you so much.
I thought it's a gift, which is both practical. I don't want you getting COVID over the Christmas period, okay, Dan? Yeah. Obviously, we've got a lot of guests coming over tonight. You're going to be out and about. I love how you're trying it on. I don't want you getting COVID, so I thought, well, it's something which will keep you safe, and also, you know, it's Nicolas Cage related. So for those who can't see, it's a face mask with Nicolas Cage's face on it in a Santa hat.
I tell you what, when I put it over my mouth and I close my eyes, it's almost like I can smell Nicolas Cage in front of me.
Because I've gotten you Nicolas Cage gifts in the past, but I thought this year or it'd be, you know, COVID related.
Oh, Joe, you've outdone yourself. And this is so practical. And I will be wearing this first week back into school in January. I mean, the kids are going to love it. The kids are going to be like, oh, Nick Cage, sir. How relevant are you?
Can I open yours?
Yes, you can. I'm so excited. I'm going to wet myself.
You're going to wet you? Well, don't do that. Oh, now yours is a lot bigger than mine.
Yes.
It must be said. Very well wrapped. It's not a face mask, that's for sure. It's a lot bigger than a face mask.
Have I done well?
Oh my. This is one of the best presents I think I've ever had in my life. And for all those listening, it's a t-shirt which says, "Have a disgusting Christmas." Based. So for all those who don't know, me and Dan absolutely adore the video. I'm going to sing Cher Lloyd by Cher Lloyd. And when the mother walks in, goes, "Which one of yours? Disgusting." And Dan has gotten me a lovely t-shirt saying, "Having a disgusting Christmas." Mate, that is incredible. That is amazing.
I'm glad you liked it.
Thank you so, so much.
It's my pleasure, Joe. My pleasure. You know, you are more than worth it. Well, if those gifts weren't good enough, my better half, Amelia, has also gotten us both gifts. Now, I believe they're similar or the same.
Right.
But, you know, being the kind person she is, she wants to spread some Christmas cheer, so she's gotten us both presents. Should we open them together?
Yeah, let me get mine. It's so lovely of her, and obviously Amelia's actually been on the show as well, so
she has. She's our Mulan expert.
Sort of payment for being on our show, maybe. I don't know. Oh my days. Have you seen this?
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god, look at that!
Oh my gosh! Oh, we've got our own mugs!
Man, we've got our own mugs!
Oh wow!
Oh wow! That's quite emotional, man. That's
wow! Very, very oh my goodness. I've got to treat her. I've got to treat her to something after this now. Wow.
I need to treat her to something as well. Absolutely. You know.
Oh my goodness. We've got our own mugs, Joe.
We've got our own Dan and Joe film show mugs.
We've made it,
mate. I know you've been wanting to be like an American talk host for so long. So this will be great.
And we can use it for today's Christmas show when all the guests arrive.
We can.
Decide to have a coffee or something.
Yeah, yeah. Just go, if you're interested in ordering these Dan and Joe Film Show mugs, please get in touch with Amelia and she will sort you out for some. That is very lovely. Very, very lovely.
Wow,
wow, that's amazing. That is incredible.
Oh, wow. She's outdone herself. That's amazing.
That
oh, my God.
And I will send her a lovely message after the show just to thank her personally. And hopefully I get to see her before Christmas as well. And then maybe I can
sure
treat her to a little something.
Oh, easy does it, Joe. Yeah, a big thank you to Amelia. Oh, I love her to bits. And this is just great. But Joe, are you ready to have some guests over?
Let's do it.
Hello, Merry Christmas, and welcome to the Dan Joe Film Show, episode 29. So excited, Christmas has come around once again. And as always, I'm joined by my gorgeous partner in crime. Ho, 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 it's Joe Richards.
Hello, ho, ho, ho. I'm wearing a Captain America jumper tonight, Christmas jumper, just for you, Dan, although you have let the team down massively.
Oh, I apologise, but you know what? You just can't disagree with a bit of cream, can you, really? I mean, come on. I look like a cream carpet.
You're just constantly, forever trying to look like Chris Evans in Knives Out, aren't you? You're trying to do that whole thing with like the cable knit jumpers. You're forever trying to look like Chris Evans.
And it's not working, is it really? So let's face
it. It's not.
But I'm so excited about today's show because we've got a lot of guests coming. I hear the doorbell going. So our first guest is about to arrive and it is Hamish Calvert. Hi, Hamish.
Hey, guys.
Welcome. Come on in. I'll grab your coat for you.
Thank you, looks great. Love it, you're
done
on the place.
Thank you so much. You know, I don't get the compliments from Joe most of the time, but thank you, Hamish, it means a lot. And if you are free to be a co-host next year, that would be great. Can I get you anything to drink, Hamish?
I'd love a good Irish cider, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll fly over there now and get it for you. Thank you so much for coming, Hamish. Make your way into the dining area. There'll be more guests arriving soon, so have a lovely time. Oh, there goes the doorbell again. Oh my goodness, these staggered times, they just seem to be getting better and better. And here we have David Oscar at the door. Welcome, David.
Hello.
Hi, David. Come on in, I'll take your coat for you.
I'm out in the cold. It's very cold out there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's snowy.
Is it Christmas in here? Dan doesn't look like he's dressed for the occasion. No. I know you're fundraising, Dan, for normal jumper day. Is that?
No drinks for you. No, I'm joking. What can I get you?
I'll also have a cider. I'll have a festive cider. Bit of
brilliant.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
I'll get that on the go. Warmed up or just out the warmed
yeah,
up?
It's cold out there. It's snowing. I need some.
Yeah, warmed up on the hob.
So warm your cockles and muscles.
I'll go put the hob on, Dan, okay?
Brilliant. Make your way in, David. So Hamish has just arrived. I don't know whether you know Hamish Calvert, but go on in and other guests will be arriving soon. Oh my gosh, there goes the doorbell again. And it's the one and only, it's our wondrous Welsh friend. He's just arrived on his sleigh because his name is Gary Sleighmaker. And Gary, welcome.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you. But we'll have to do caroling for you. Hello, good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Gary. Come on in. Come on in.
Thanks very much.
Can I get you a drink, Gary?
Anything with alcohol in. Let's not mess about. It's been that kind of year.
It has indeed. I'm sure we can accommodate that for sure.
Absolutely. Come on in, Gary. We'll get you the drink. Go and meet Hamish and David in the dining area. And lastly, we've got a double bill now. We've got Emily Murray is here at the door. The doorbell's just gone. And hello, girls. And Clarice as well.
Oh, hi. We're a pair.
We are a pair.
Yeah, you come in together. Basically, at the beginning, in our introduction, which you'll hear when you hear the full show, we basically said that Christopher Nolan has flown you both in on his private jet, especially for the occasion.
Oh, yeah, our mate Chris. He's cool.
Our mate Chris. We are very close personal friends. Also, I'm also pro normal Christmas, no, normal jumper day with Dan, so...
Thank you. Very true.
We need all the money we can get at this. Thank you, girls. Come on in. Can I get any drinks, ladies?
Ooh. Oh, I've got I have this David Copperfield themed sherry.
Oh my god.
Especially
Chris brought a drink to the house. So you know, you are the best guest, but I would have a martini shaken, not stirred, please.
Wow, I like it. Okay, I'll
just
get
what
on that
Nolan
straight
would
away.
Order.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Come on in, guys. Well. Thank you so much for coming, guys. Come and make yourself welcome in the dining area. We're so glad you can attend our little Christmas get together. And try not to get too paranoid, okay, guys, with the year we've had. Just let yourself go, have a couple of drinks, and we'll get them sorted for you. But first, Emily, we'll start with you. Yes. Are you excited for Christmas this year? And what kind of Christmas traditions do you normally do?
Yeah, well, Christmas will be a bit different this year because I can't see my family because of COVID, which is a shame. But so it will be a bit weird doing it like over Zoom, but it'll be nice. But my family are like really weird around Christmas. Like we have weird traditions, I think, because like we don't open our presents on Christmas Day. Like we open our main one on Christmas Day and then they keep like a little one for each day for the rest of the week. So it's sort of, I think the high idea is it's like spreads the Christmas cheer for the whole week, which is always something I've really liked growing up. So I'm going to miss that. We're all vegetarians too. So there's no turkey, no meat, which is, so it's going to be really weird. Like I'm spending it with my boyfriend's family this year. So it's going to be really weird and like big house with like turkey, I suppose, around me. And
so they're going to make you something specific, are they, for
just want a ton of roast potatoes and then I'm happy. That's the best part of Christmas dinner anyways. Yeah, so yeah, it's going to be a bit different this year, but I'm also excited because I know I'm getting Tenet on 4K and that's what I'm going to be watching on Christmas Day. So on brand.
Yeah, definitely.
Amazing. Oh, I look forward to it. And Clarice, welcome again. What's Christmas like for you? What have you got planned for this year?
I am so excited to be with other people. I live in a studio flat on my own. I've not had physical contact with people for a while because I'm trying to pre-quarantine for Christmas. Yeah, I'm mainly just excited about human interaction this year. Like, no, not about the presents or the food or the togetherness. It's like, oh my God, a hug.
Oh, so jazzed
for that.
Even if the conversation's terrible, it doesn't matter, you'll just be enjoying it.
So yeah. So it's a cheap Christmas for your family as well then. No presents, just hugs. But,
yeah, I did ask for a baby Yoda. My dad was like, look, I've got this is really stressful for Christmas for him because obviously it's hard to go shopping and go physically be places. So I was like, I'll help you out. I would like a baby Yoda. Here is the link to the specific baby Yoda I would like. I'm a 30-year-old woman, but let's just ignore that. I want a baby Yoda.
Nice. Absolutely. We all need one. And Gary, what about you? What are your traditions normally at Christmas time?
Heavy drinking, heavy eating. That's pretty much it. Really. and family. So actually this Christmas could probably be the best Christmas ever because I'm on my own. For the first time in over 50 years, I'm not sharing Christmas Day with anyone because it's either been family or friends or girlfriend last 2 years. But obviously with this COVID, it's just me this Christmas. Brilliant. I'm going to be just sitting around in a pants and vest till about 7 in the evening. You can't do that in company.
And have you got a list of films? What are you planning on doing when you're on your own? Are you going to watch just a film?
I'll probably just go straight through the Marvel Cinematic Universe all day. And grub somewhere in there as well. Obviously avoiding Thor the Dark World, which is by far the worst of them. So, yeah. I'm so looking forward to just, there'll be a Zoom call mid-afternoon from my mother and sister, so there'll have to be some kind of jumper put on for that, but otherwise, no, it's just naked Christmas, semi-naked Christmas Day.
You'll have to get dressed for that, won't you, Gary?
Probably.
You can't just turn up with your shorts.
I might even have to put a tie on.
Just from the waist up, though, it's fine, yeah. Just from the waist up, yeah. You're good.
Absolutely.
Oh, that sounds lovely. I wish I could do that. Hamish, what about you? Are you going to be on the beer? Lots of eating this Christmas?
Oh, definitely. That's a tradition that will never change. It's good, though, because usually I work in retail, so usually I'm in Boxing Day, but this year they've decided to give us that off just as a wee thank you for working through a lot of the lockdowns and things. So I will really be able to enjoy myself this Christmas. Usually have to go to bed a wee bit early and get up early the next day, but I'll be able to really have a merry Christmas, emphasis on the merry.
Oh, very nice. I love that. And David, what about you? How's your Christmas looking this year?
Yeah, well, this will be my second Christmas now having to do retail, so it will be nice now to get up early on Boxing Day and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And yeah, it will be a bit different. Like I said, I haven't got a big family, so it usually is just me and my mum or just, you know, small get-together. But this year, then my mum's going down West Wales, so I'm going to link up with my dad, which I don't usually do on Christmas Day for like dinner and stuff. And we're going to attempt a dinner by ourselves. So there might be a fire. We don't know. We'll have to see. But hopefully it goes okay.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm sure you're not going to do anything, David. You'll be great. Oh, that sounds really good. And also, obviously, on the topic of presents, what is the worst present you guys have ever received for Christmas? Because I can think of a few. For me, it was a card. Now, this is for my auntie, my great auntie, who sadly passed away, so I'm not going to be horrible to her at all. But I got this. It wasn't a present. It was a card. And it was, like, really pink and girly. And I was like, has she sent it to the wrong thing? And it was like, have a fabulous Christmas. And like really, really girly. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? I felt very, very weird about it. We didn't speak about it, you know, again. The annual Boxing Day came around and I was like, ah, you're right. And I just kind of walked off. It was very, very weird. But no real bad presents, really, I can think of. But what about you guys? What about you, Gary? Have you got any presents that you regret?
Actually, the worst present I ever had was type 2 diabetes. Because I had the diagnosis from the 23rd of December about seven years ago. So yeah, so it wasn't exactly, so it didn't stop me eating mince pies though.
I was going to say, so did that affect the Christmas diet at all?
Not really, because I've got it now. There's no point, you know, I won't get rid of it in the next 3 days. So yeah, and it's when I actually made, I did a stand-up show, which then turned into two radio programmes based on that one line. The worst thing I had for Christmas was type 2 diabetes. And then it just became this stand-up show, which then became a show for Radio Cymru and Radio Wales as well. The Radio Wales one was called Slaymaker 1 Diabetes Type 2. And it was kind of looking at the do's and don'ts of diabetes, but with my take on it as the stand-up thread in between talking to the experts. So, yeah, that's officially my worst Christmas present. Sorry, I didn't mean to bring the room down.
No, absolutely not.
I'm sorry for laughing. I didn't know how to respond to it.
Yeah, you should. Well, that's the thing. Because it's the best way to take it. It's a spoonful of sugar which makes the medicine go down. So
yeah, definitely. What about you, Emily? Have you got any terrible Christmas presents?
No, I can't think of any, to be honest. I'm not very fussy, though. So, or I just give a very particular list of what I'd like to avoid it. But it did make me laugh because my nan, bless her, my Irish nan would always send me a Christmas card. And I think my name's quite easy to spell, but it would be spelt differently like every single year. Like sometimes it would have like two M's or two Y's or two I's, and I didn't ever know what was going on. So that was always a highlight. So, you know, get this card and just try and guess how she spelt my name this year.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was.
And Clarice, what about you? Have you got any awful Christmas presents, or have you been quite lucky?
I don't really get bad ones. My dad and his girlfriend always find me the most delightfully weird stuff, which I really love. Like my Christmas present from last year is my dad found this signed photo of Nicole Kidman. It's like right over there. it's like maybe 2003, this photo, and it's framed. It's like beautifully framed. It's just a signed photo of Nicole Kidman. And I was like, I love it. Thank you. Yeah, he's good at just getting very unexpected stuff. So it feels like a genuine surprise every Christmas. Mm.
Yeah, nice. Definitely. I mean, there are worse things than waking up to Nicole Kidman every morning, isn't there, really?
I know. I made a bit of a shrine. There's like candles around it. So every morning I wake up and go to the Nicole shrine.
It's like The Conjuring. You calling her ghost or something, Goofy.
Like, if she wants to come around and talk about how much she loves her husband and how much she misses her husband, I'm down with it. She can bring some wine. We'll chat.
It'll be great.
Oh, brilliant. Well, that's certainly some very crazy presents there. And moving on now to the part of the show that we've all been really looking forward to. Each of you have brought with you a Christmas film that you believe is the best Christmas film of all time. And there'll be a bit of controversy, I can tell, during this debate. And don't hold back on this. If you think someone else's pick is bad, you've got to go in there for the jugular, okay? But we're going to go to Emily first for her Christmas pick. And obviously, I think this is kind of a favourite with a lot of people. But Emily, what Christmas film have you brought with you?
I picked Muppet Christmas Carol, and I don't think I really need to sell it because it's the Muppets. I don't like, what is there not to love about Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, like Gonzo, Visitor Rat, like reenacting the best Christmas story ever told.
He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone. Boy, this really is a dirty city.
You telling me?
Come here.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
Oh. He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, clutching, covetous old sinner.
Bob Cratchit?
Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Who is this?
It's Mr. Applegate, sir. He's here to speak to you about his mortgage.
Please, Mr. Scrooge, I know you're very angry about this, and I didn't mean to fall behind in the payments. Lord knows it, being Christmas and all. Oh, please don't shout at me, sir. That, and of course, little Gwen, her lungs aren't right. The doctor takes his share, don't he? I mean, you can yell and scream, and you're right, but it won't do no good, because I'm the stone you can't squeeze blood from, and that's the truth! Thank you for not shouting at me.
Let us deal with the eviction notices for tomorrow, Mr. Cratchit.
Tomorrow's Christmas, sir.
Very well. You may gift wrap them.
Let us help you with that, Mr. Cratchit.
Oh, my, there are certainly a lot today.
We'll get it with you.
Okay,
There you go. Look out on that end.
Christmas is a very busy time for us, Mr. Cratchit. People preparing feasts, giving parties, spending the mortgage money on frivolities. One might say that December is the foreclosure season.
Harvest time for the moneylenders.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, it's gotten colder. Yeah. Any bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire?
We can't do the bookkeeping.
Yeah, all of our pens have turned to inksicles. Yeah. Our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
This is my island in the sun.
I believe you convinced them once again, Mr. Scrooge.
Well, it was really weird because, like, I feel like with people, like, everyone's favourite Christmas film is what they grew up watching. And I grew up watching Muppet Christmas Carol, so that's why it's so close to my heart, because it's what we would watch every single Christmas day. And it was really funny because we had the old VHS copy, so we'd fast forward through the song Love Is Gone. And then when I bought the DVD, the song just wasn't there. It was like a miracle, like a Christmas miracle. But now I've heard that they're putting it back in. And so yeah. I was like, oh, I'll listen to it to see if it's as bad as I remembered. But actually, it's really good. So I think like maybe my dad was just a bit like cold-hearted. So it was like, let's just skip through this soppy song. So the Muppet Christmas Carol is like even more improved now because this long lost song is there. But yeah, the Christmas Carol, like Christmas Carol, it's the best story. And it's perfectly told by the Muppets. And when I went to uni, I studied Charles Dickens. And I read A Christmas Carol, and it's like dead accurate as well, which is really bizarre because you'd think that they would have like, I don't know, like played around with it or not, but like they really nail the characters, and like Kermit the Frog pretty much is Cratchit. So yeah, it's so charming and full of love, and it's got such a good message at the heart, and it's just entertaining as well, the way like Rizzo and Gonzo tell the story. So, and there's tunes, there's like what's not to love.
And Michael Caine's performance.
He's so good.
He commits. He's not playing with Muppets. He's actually acting with other actors. Yeah. That's what I love about it. That's an Oscar-worthy performance. But because it's in a film with Muppets, he's never going to get that nomination.
Yeah. Well, when he got offered a part, he said he's going to act it as if he's on the RSC, and that he's going to pretend that they're real people. And like he commits. And
brilliant.
Yeah, I quite like Michael Caine. Obviously, he's a Nolan you know, regular, so that helps. But he's like so good in this, and obviously, but the stars are the Muppets, of course.
And, I'm sorry, did you say that they're not real people? I was
that they are to me, but not to me.
Okay, good. I just wanted to double check.
I did go to a Q&A once with Kermit the Frog, and I actually cried just being like in the presence of Kermit himself. Me and my dad were there like sobbing at like this film festival. But my favourite Muppet is Rizzo the Rat. I thought I would just clarify that right now, because everyone has a favourite. It used to be Miss Piggy, but I feel like in recent years Rizzo's really grown on me. So it's Rizzo the Rat.
I like the one. What's the one that goes muh, muh, and he has like the spiky ginger hair?
Ika.
I love it so much.
He just talks in meeps.
Yeah, he's great. I've always had a soft spot for Fozzie for some reason. Fozzie, I don't know why. I just think the whole bad joke thing, it resonates really well with me. But yeah, he's a personal favorite. And the Muppet Christmas Carol is an all-timer for sure. It's my go-to Christmas Eve movie, just because of that whole Kermit number, you know, when they kind of shutting down the shop for the
getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, just a beautiful song. And so every year when I go home for Christmas, usually I arrive home on Christmas Eve, put my feet up, coffee and mince pie and Muppet Christmas Carol on the TV, and you can't go far wrong from it. And it is an all-timer, because when we were asking you all to choose your films, I know David was very disappointed that
I'm
you
sorry,
nabbed
David.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
No, it's fine. It's
before
fine.
Him.
Yeah, I think I like, there's no flaw. I mean, yeah. If anyone has a flaw for the Muppet Christmas Carol, you just have a cold heart. I'm sorry.
You're dead inside. That's when someone goes, I don't like it very much. So sorry if I've offended anybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's a strong pick, Emily. A strong start. Let's go to Clarice now. A very, very different type of Christmas film. Clarice, why have you chosen this one?
I'm not going to argue that Gremlins is the best Christmas movie, but I feel like in 2020, it's the most appropriate Christmas movie.
Oh, face up, mean kitty. You start eating before everybody gets here. Come on, old dollar bill. Yes, here we go, old dollar bill. Mama fix you something good to eat here. Everybody here? All right, let's go. Mama's coat. Here's old. Christmas carolers. I hate Christmas carolers. Screeching voice, little blue snippers. I warned you, rats!
What I love about Gremlins and in general, I always gravitate towards Christmas films that have a bit of darkness to them and a little bit of chaos, because Christmas, it gives a lot of people mixed feelings. And for all the lovely like Muppet Christmas Carol joy that it brings, it is also literally hell on earth for other people. So I appreciate that Gremlins finds the middle ground between that, because you know, you have the gizmo sweetness, and then you also have a gremlin in a microwave exploding, and there's blood everywhere, and that is also Christmas. I feel we have to acknowledge both sides of it. Yeah, that's it. It's just Gremlins are 2020.
Yeah, there's a moment in Gremlins where I think he's like walking with his like love interest, and she says, "Well, she doesn't like Christmas." And this is because her dad died going down a chimney, dressed as Santa. Like, how dark is that? I was about to swear, but I didn't swear as allowed.
And that's
like...
the moment that she realised Santa isn't real.
Exactly. Like,
I love that.
It's so good. I love that speech because it is so, so it is so twisted, but also it gets to the heart of like why Christmas is so difficult for people, because it is meant to be this period of absolute purity and joy and everything is perfect, and that's why everyone gets so stressed out, because they're straining to reach this image of perfection, and anything that falls short of that is absolute disaster. And so to have a film that presents just the absolute opposite of that, like dead Santa dad in the chimney, we open the door, there's carolers, but they're all gremlins and they're going nah, 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 nah. Like
my favorite's a stripper crashing. Gremlin
there's a stripper gremlin, yeah. They're playing poker, they're all in the cinema watching Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and laughing their little heads off. and I think it also, I have always been really attracted to films that take like American suburbia and then turn it on its head, and to have this film that is about, to me, the excess consumerism, and how it is a great line at the end. Like, I know the character of the shopkeeper is pretty racist. I should be upfront about that. There is, like all 80s movies, quite strong racism in Gremlins, but he has this line about how, you know, this is what you do, you take all the things on this earth and you just exploit them to the point that they become destructive. And it's like, well, boom, isn't that human civilization? You take the adorable Mogwai and then you don't respect it and respect the rules that it goes by, and then boom, you have consumerism, and that turns into to the evils of capitalism, and the gremlins are capitalism. I'm really bad at it. But the gremlins are capitalism, and also Christmas is a very capitalist holiday. Sorry, everyone.
Wow, Merry Christmas, please. Leave now.
But also, you have Gizmo to balance it out. Gizmo is like the pure spirit of Christmas, which is what Christmas really should be about, which is about caring and loving and respecting each other.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And David, you recently actually discussed Gremlins on your most recent episode of Well Good Movie. So what are your thoughts on Gremlins?
Yeah, it's kind of like Clarice said, it's that idea of taking suburbia and flipping it, because we did that and Edward Scissorhands, which both do that. You know, they show this like idyllic American town and, you know, show like something horrific inside it. And yeah, I love the music in that film as well. The theme for the Gremlins is just the most catchy thing ever. If it ever comes on your Spotify when you're like driving or doing work or something, you're like, the hell is this? And you're like, oh, okay, it's Gremlins. But it's such a jam. It's so catchy. So yeah, I love the psychoticness of it as well. I think it's, like Chris said, it's just the other side of things is, you know, like it's this happy, jolly time of year, but you want a bit of darkness as well, because you don't want it to be all Hallmark Christmas moments.
All the best Christmas films have a little bit of darkness in them anyway. Because you're next to the Sony channel now, there's a dedicated 24-hour Christmas channel. Oh my God, the crap they're putting out on that. Because it's all happy and joy. Oh no, my sister's donkey's died. It's okay though, we can get a transplant from a horse to save it. We'll put horns on it, and now it's a Christmas reindeer. And the whole of the holidays are saved. Shut up. I'd rather have Gremlins. I'd rather have Bad Santa. It's a Wonderful Life. It's a dark film until you get to that final scene. Yeah. So I think Christmas works best when there's that little tint of darkness in the film.
I mean, even Muppet Christmas Carol, like that was the first film made after Jim Henson's death. And that sort of, you know, the really somber, like melancholy, like is all over that film. So also darkness. I only watched Gremlins for the first time last year, by the way. I think because I grew up in a household where my sister doesn't watch anything of a touch of violence in it. Like it was just Love Actually and Love Actually, which is
could drive you to violence. That one.
And Muppet Christmas Carol every year. So I feel like I haven't seen like so many Christmas films because of my sister's bad taste in movies. But I watched Gremlins. It was great. I relished in pure chaos of it.
Well, Muppet's Christmas Carol also has the Ghost of Christmas Past and Future, which both look terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say, yes.
And when, like, the doorknob as well turns to Marley's face, I don't know, that really got me as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. That whole sequence when Rizzo and Gonzo duck out and they're like, we'll see you at the finale. It's like, I wish I could have done that as a child, because that is terrifying.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of dark stuff, David, do you want to tell everybody what what Christmas film you've brought to the party?
Yeah, as if it was enough ruining Christmas with, you know, like little gremlins. It's like, what about like all the horrors of Halloween? I chose Nightmare Before Christmas. And to be fair, I did say about Muppets Christmas Carol because me and Joe have discussed Muppets a lot before. But it is always tied between these two films because, like Clarice said, it's that idea of like to really appreciate the joy and happiness of Christmas, you need something like dark and psychotic to almost like make that shine even more.
I must be dreaming. Wake up, Jack, this isn't fair. What's this? What's this? What's this? There's something very wrong. What's this? There's people singing songs. What's this? The streets are lined with little creatures laughing. Everybody seems so happy. Have I possibly gone daffy? What is this? What's this? There's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys, and absolutely no one's dead. There's frost in every window. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. And in my bones, I feel the warmth that's coming from inside. Oh, look, what's this? They're hanging mistletoe. They kiss? Why, that looks so unique. Inspired! They're gathering around a hero story, roasting chestnuts on a fire. What's this? What's this? In here, they've got a little tree. How queer! And who would ever think? And why? They're covering it with tiny little things. They've got electric lights on strings, and there's a smile on everyone. So now correct me if I'm wrong. This looks like fun, this looks like fun. Oh, could it be I got my wish? What's this? Oh my, what now? The children are asleep. But look, there's nothing underneath. No ghouls, no witches here to scream and scare them or ensnare them. Only little cozy things secure inside their dreamland. What's this? The monsters are all missing and the nightmares can't be found. And in their place there seems to be good feeling all around. Instead of screams, I swear I can hear music in the air. The smell of cakes and pies are absolutely the sights, the sounds, they're everywhere and all around. I've never felt so good before. This empty place inside of me is filling up. I simply cannot get enough. I want it, oh, I want it, oh, I want it for my own. I've got to know, it is this place that I have found. What is this? Christmas Town?
You know, for a lot of people, the entire months of October, November, December are just a festive period. You know, people who love Halloween, Thanksgiving in America, Christmas Day. It's almost then as if Nightmare Before Christmas is perfect for that as well, because people will watch it at Halloween. They'll watch it in between Halloween and Christmas. They'll watch it at Christmas. And it's just the attention to detail that goes into it. Like, I've looked a lot into it lately, and it's just, obviously it's like all handmade and stop motion. So that makes it, you know, they wanted this picture book look to it, which, you know, matches with Christmas, because that's all about, you know, reading stories at night and that kind of stuff. And I think, again, it's the idea of like appreciating something so, you know, jolly and light. You kind of need like a character like Jack Skellington, who, you know, wants to take it for his own, because he doesn't look at it and go, oh, I want to ruin that. He wants to embrace like the happiness, which hence, like, you know, the what's this song. So you kind of get that great theme of just like, oh, I want to get involved in this. And, you know, and there's like a great storyline about, you know, finding your purpose and all that kind of stuff. And loads of people relate to that. So yeah, I just love how dark it gets, you know, the end of it where like he's given the presents and they're all turning into like, you know, the Reese turns into a monster. The snake is like eating the child's tree. And like you guys, when I watched that as a kid, I was like, ah, you know, it's scary, but it was a good scary. It was the type that as a kid, you're just like, oh my God, I want to watch more. But at the same time, like I said, you've got Santa, you've got like the North Pole, and you know, you still got a lot of the values of Christmas, which is, you know, cherish your family, cherish what you're good at, give to others. And, you know, and by the end of it, it's great because you've got the citizens of Halloween Town. They kind of learn to appreciate it because, you know, it starts snowing at the end and, you know, they come across the same situation. They're like, oh, what's this? What's this? So, yeah, it's just a really charming film. It's, you know, just a timeless tale. And, you know, it's really perfect little stop motion piece of animation.
I always feel like A Muppet Christmas Carol is the Christmas Eve. I don't know why, but the night before Christmas is always funny. Boxing Day morning on BBC, they always play it on Boxing Day morning, and I always just enjoy it. I don't know why.
I was going to say, how are we all feeling about Nightmare Before Christmas, though? Because I always tend to watch that. That's my film, which I watch on November the 1st, because it's got that perfect balance of Halloween, which has just been. And obviously that's kind of, for me, the transitional period between, okay, Halloween has been and gone. Now it's time to get excited for Christmas. So when do we all, if we have seen Nightmare Before Christmas, when do we all tend to kind of watch it through the year? Like, David, do you watch it on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, or do you watch it a bit earlier than that?
It's just variety, really. I can see the value in all of it. It's kind of like, oh, I'll try it this time this year. I'll try it at that time this year. That's the fun thing about it. You can appreciate it at all levels because the film literally does that throughout the story. You know, it's there at Halloween at the beginning and it's there at Christmas at the end. So I think it does work, like Dan said, even, you know, Boxing Day, especially if you don't want to give kids like nightmares on Christmas Eve. but yeah, I think it does work for any part of the festive period.
I agree. And I only saw it recently. I saw it at the cinema. I went to the cinema to watch it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I only
watched it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I remember you guys saying that on like one of your podcasts or on the radio or something. And I remember hearing it being like, what? I was like, Dan, what a shame. So I'm glad you have seen it now.
I only saw it
first time this year. Me and Clarice watched it together virtually. And Clarice introduced me to the weird world of Jack Skellington. But we watched it on Halloween. But I think it suits all that sort of the winter season.
Yeah.
Because even though it's full of heart, there's a certain, you know, coldness to it. But I now love Jack Skellington. And Zero, I'm obsessed with Zero.
Yes.
He's so cute.
He's very cute.
Should we go now to Gary? Now, Gary's chosen a controversial one, okay? Or is it controversial anymore? I'm not sure.
Well, every year we have this debate. Every year, without fail, is it a Christmas film? Is it not a Christmas film? You're guaranteed some, you know, website will do a whole piece about it. And yeah, I just wish somebody could just decide once and for all, just put it out there that it will forever be considered a Christmas film or not a Christmas film. So, Gary, would you like to tell everyone what your pick is?
Good effort so far, ladies and gentlemen, but I am giving you the most Christmassy film of them all, Die Hard.
I wanted this to be professional, efficient, adult, cooperative, not a lot to ask. Alas, your Mr. Takagi did not see it that way, so he won't be joining us for the rest of his life. We can go anywhere you want us. You can walk out of here or be carried out. But have no illusions. We are in charge. So, decide now, each of you. And please remember, we have left nothing to chance. Get them back! Lock them out! Now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho.
When people say, but it's not a Christmas one, here's the thing. It's a group of people stuck in a building, getting on each other's nerves. If that isn't the very definition of Christmas, so you know, and of course it's just referenced throughout Christmas in Hollis by Run-DMC. The very last line of the film, delivered by Argyle, is, "If this is what they get up to at Christmas, I gotta be here for New Year's." So it's lit up, ho ho ho. Now I have a machine gun. My God, that's Santa's phrase for the whole of the Tory party this Christmas. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not even Christmas adjacent. It is Christmas. It just happens to be spectacularly, violently, sweary Christmas. But sometimes that's what you need.
Mm. And are we all in agreement? Do we all consider Die Hard to be a Christmas movie or not?
The fact that somebody made
Clarice looks unsure.
It's an alternative one, I'd say.
Yeah, it's not a Christmas movie, but I have never watched it at Christmas because...
Oh, you haven't lived, Clarice.
It's not... It's Bruce Willis is not Christmassy to me. No. He's a man in a tank top.
I would not want to be woken up by him on Christmas Day.
I don't feel cozy watching Bruce Willis. And I need a level of Christmas, like coziness to my Christmas movies, which Gremlins provides in the form of Gizmo. You see Gizmo and you're like, Christmas. He's in a little box like Lady and Lady and the Tramp. It's very cute. There's none of that in Die Hard. I need the little like, you know... you just want to like cozy up next to the fire.
There's the bear, the big bear.
The cuddly bear.
Sergeant Al, his helper outside, he's a big cuddly police officer. might fit, I don't know. Bonnie Bedelia, she's fantastic, but that's a different thing altogether. And it's weird, I was half dragged to see this film when it first opened because I thought, oh God, a Bruce Willis action movie, this would be awful. Because obviously at the time we only knew him for Moonlighting, which I loved, but it was very, very lightweight comedy fare. And just the idea of Bruce Willis in an action film, I mean, that's never going to work. And I sat there within 10 minutes, I went, okay, I'm all in on this one. Obviously, since then, they have got progressively worse as the films have gone on. But that first one, I think, is still a benchmarking action thriller as well as being great Christmas fare.
It's like, I hadn't seen it again. I'm so bad at Christmas movies. I'm sorry. All I watched growing up was Muppets. So I hadn't seen it, but it's my boyfriend's favourite Christmas film. So now we watch it every year when we put the tree up. But like, I do have a question for you, because do you think it's really weird? Like, there's so much, like, he's always distracted by women. Like, there's like a naked woman. He's like, oh, check her out. And then there's like, he's always just staring at women. Like, is it like trying to say like Bruce Willis isn't gay in this film? Like, I always find that bit a bit weird. Apart from that, I really like that.
Don't worry, guys. Bruce Willis isn't gay.
I think there was some severe overcompensation going on by Mr. Willis there. But I hadn't even thought of it in those terms. Because it's weird, because it's all about the story. And the thing is, because he was working on Moonlighting while they were making the film, he wasn't available for a lot of the shoot, which is why then some of the secondary characters got bumped up. So you get to see more of the background characters, which is brilliant, because I think it just adds to the whole feel. And of course, this was Alan Rickman's first movie. And what a way to kick off a movie career.
Oh, wow.
By turning up and stealing every scene you're in and making the bad guy the absolute star of the film.
Another thing I noticed because I watched it last week, was obviously the whole thing is that they aren't terrorists, but in the credits, it says the terrorists with all the names underneath. And it's like, come on, like, the whole point isn't that they aren't terrorists. I love Alan Rickman very, like, he's so good.
The whole point is that's the bluff of it, that they're going in pretending to be terrorists, but really they're just bank robbers or just robbers.
Or they're still terrorists in the credits, though, which I do find very funny.
Somebody did make, I don't know if people saw, like, an advent calendar for Die Hard, and it was like Alan Rickman's character at like the top on day one, and as the days go on, he like you leveling down towards like Christmas Day. I was like, that's pretty clever.
Oh, I love that. Can I purchase one of those calendars, please? Is it too late?
I'll make one and you can buy it for £150 on me.
Brilliant. And now I've got to just say, now Hamish's pick. Oh my goodness, I was so jealous because I was so close to choosing this. I don't know about you, Hamish, but this is a film that I feel like we grew up with, maybe some of you here grew up with. We're not supposed to like it, but we do. And Hamish, do you want to tell everybody, do you want to bless us with your Christmas choice?
Definitely. I know, like, everyone's finding it really hard to get PS5s, but, like, they've clearly never tried to get a Turbo Man before, because Jingle All the Way is my pick for best Christmas film.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes?
I'm trying to find a Turbo Man doll.
Me too, me too.
Do you have any more in the back? What? What's he laughing at? What did I say?
These guys are looking for a Turbo Man?
A gentleman doll, yes.
They're looking for Turbo Man.
Hey, everybody, these two are looking for a Turbo Man.
Gentleman. Now, what's so funny?
Where have you guys been? Turbo Man's only the hottest selling Christmas toy ever. But you know what? We got plenty of Turbo Man's faithful saber-tooth tiger booster.
Where's your Christmas spirit? That's better. Now, there must be a Turbo Man around here somewhere.
The last one just left. Some lady had it on layaway.
A lady? What lady?
Short, with a fur coat.
Fur coat.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, buddy. Oh!
Give me this.
Hey!
This is war. Poor baby.
Like you, Dan, I definitely grew up with this film. It's actually one of my earliest memories of going to the cinema to see a film. So I think I've definitely got that like attached to it. And honestly, since then, it is a tradition. I watch it religiously every year at Christmas. It's a family film. We all sit down and watch it together. There's just so much about it I love. Basically, Arnie is just great in it. Like, I don't think it would be as good without him, because just any line he says is funny and quotable. Even if it's not meant to be funny, it just is because of him and his, like, over-the-top performance and his facial expressions and everything. But I think what's best about it is it just captures the absolute insanity of retail at Christmas. And being a retail worker and anyone else who has will completely relate to this, that people just go crazy at Christmas and they will do anything to get that one thing that they want. They just throw anything in their basket. They'll push people out of the way. So I think watching it since having worked in retail has given it a whole extra element to it that I didn't have, obviously, growing up as a kid. I just loved all like the superhero stuff growing up as a kid and thought it was funny. But now this, watching it growing up, there's a lot in it for grown-ups as well, which I think is why it works so well. There's that one scene where they're fighting over the wee lottery balls so they can get the chance just to buy a Turbo Man, and they just all go crazy and they play It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year over it while they're all battering each other to get these balls. And I just thought it's very good at sort of picking up on those sort of insane things and lengths that people go to at Christmas time. But yeah, just so quotable, so funny, and it's really short as well. Good pace, not too long. There's no lull in it. So yeah, it's definitely my top pick.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, Hamish. Can I just say, like, guys, you just go home because Arnie is here now. Like, he's saving
never
Christmas.
Seen it.
And like,
of course.
What, Emily? No. This should have been before Muppets Christmas Carol.
The theme is, I haven't seen many Christmas movies. I'm catching up. Like, I watched Home Alone last night for the first time, which got a thumbs down from me. So,
No, I love this, Hamish.
Maybe I try Jingle All the Way next.
Yeah,
I think you should, because like Hamish, I think this is the first memory I had of Arnie, and that was just it. Then I fell in love. We had a good relationship, and I can't remember going to see it in the cinema, but I remember watching it at home. And it's just, I mean, it's cheesy and corny and it's cliched, but it just, like I said, Clarice said, it just warms you up. It's so cozy of a film, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. So thank you for bringing it, Hamish.
I think the biggest question you need to ask yourself, Emily, is have you always wanted to see Arnold Schwarzenegger punch a reindeer? And if the answer is yes, then Jingle All the Way is your movie. You need to make that top of your next list for sure.
What's it?
That's iconic.
A Turbo Man.
Turbo Man.
Turbo Time.
What is a Turbo? That's what I need to know. What is Turbo Man?
Kind of like a Buzz Lightyear toy. You know, and when people went insane for the Buzz Lightyear toys when they came out, it's the same idea with this Turbo Man toy in the film. That they're so everyone wants one, but there are so few available.
And it's so funny because my dad always says that there's a moment when he finally gets his hands on the toy and he rips it up and he's so happy. Sorry, slight spoiler there, Emily. But my dad always says there's it reminds him of the, like, when I was quite young, I was really, really obsessed with Doctor Who, like all great kids should be. And there was one year they released a remote control Dalek, and that was like the must-have toy that year. And my dad said he was everywhere looking for it. And then when he got it in a shop, he literally did the Arnie, like, raise it up and hear that he finally had it. So there's always that attached to it for me as well, which is quite funny.
He's going to be Clarice's dad this year, trying to get her a baby Yoda. She's the most wanted toy this year.
Yeah.
There's plenty of baby Yodas, don't worry. Plenty of baby Yodas to go around.
I think that's the great thing. The film definitely taps into that. Like you said, Hamish, this year everybody seems to be after the PlayStation 5s and you can't get them for love nor money. When I was a child, I know it was Tracy Island, you know, the Thunderbirds. Yeah. There was a whole thing about Tracy Islands. I think every generation has got that kind of one toy where their parents frantically had to go out and try and secure one for like Christmas Day. So I think the film is great in that it definitely taps into that whole parental experience I get of trying to rush out and get that special, like, most popular gift of the year.
Yeah,
I watched the launch of Xbox One, and I was in game during the pre-Christmas period and saw someone launch a copy of Grand Theft Auto across the entire store, which I was like, that's a mood.
I do have a question about Jingle All the Way, because it sounds like capitalism obviously is a big theme in Gremlins as well. Like, would it be a good double bill?
Definitely. Because they both tap into that, but they're also both very, like, they're very entertaining as well. So they take that theme, but they're not too serious about it. So I think they would go very well together, actually.
And it's a classic for the Arnie lines as well. Like, you'll never eat a cookie the same. You're just going to be there, like, about to eat a cookie, and you're like, oh, shall I put this down or not? And it's like, yeah. But it's just weird as well, because it's like a product of the 90s. You've got Jake Lloyd, who's like Anakin Skywalker in The Phantom Menace, which is really weird because he's not like in anything else bar these like two films. And you've also got Phil Hartman, who's like a lot of voices in The Simpsons at that time before he tragically died. So that's great as well, because he's like the annoying neighbor, you know, kind of like Ned Flanders in a way, but, you know, so like Arnie like hates him, and you get like a lot of like funny lines between them, like the cookie line.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't it have Sinbad as well? Sinbad in it? Yeah. I mean, you don't get more 90s than Sinbad as well.
I wonder what he's doing now. Is he still making music or something?
I think Starman 2 is being brought to Disney Plus in 2024. I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, brilliant. Hamish, good pick there. Very strong pick. But hold your horses, guys, because I've got the perfect Christmas film right here, okay? So you think of Double Axe, Anton Deck, you think of Morecambe and Wise. No, Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon, people, okay? They are the best double act there is. Oh, gosh, I can see you. my major judgment going on here. That's okay. That's all right.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm going to
cancel your account.
So I was worried tonight that my film was going to be the worst reviewed on Rotten Tomatoes, but Hamish has taken that, okay? Yeah. Just by a bit. But mine isn't doing much better at 25%. I have chosen Four Christmases.
You just premiered. No. Auntie Kate, will you please hold him while I fix myself?
Yeah, what do you want
me to
do?
You gotta hold him. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got him? Hang on, I just want to just fix myself here. There we go.
What should I do with him?
See if he made a stinky.
How do I do that?
Just lift up his diaper and see if he made one.
Oh, yeah, there's something in here. Oh, it's a really disgusting...
Jackson, did you projectile on Anton?
I'm gonna vomit. I can't be around.
Okay? Marilyn, get him some water.
I'm gonna vomit.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'll get sick. I can't be near.
What do I do?
Take it away from me. I'm sorry, I love you. You gotta get out of here. I can't breathe. I wouldn't do it too!
It's a bit like Hamish. This was like the first proper Christmas film I saw in the cinema. It was a brand new cinema where I live. I went with my cousin and my sister. And there's something about the period of 2008 for me. Like, a film can be terrible, but I will always love it, and no one can tell me different. Like, I feel like when you go to the cinema at like 11, 12 years old, those films you just hold in high esteem and no one can tell you differently. And I just adore this film, and mainly because it's a story about Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn. They hate Christmas. Their flight gets delayed to the Bahamas. So they have to stay at Christmas time, and both of their parents are divorced. So they have to basically go visit four families in total. And you've got Jon Favreau in here, you know, back in the day, Robert Duvall, Christian Chenoweth here. So a really good cast. And for me, Christmas Day is always driving from one side to the other. Not that my parents are divorced, by the way. Mum and Dad, please don't get divorced. But it's more that I'm going from my dad's side in the morning. So I spend like till 4 o'clock with them. And then I drive then from their family to my mum's family. And I feel like Christmas, I've never had the chance to just sit like Gary would and put his pants on and his vest and just sit and chill. I just never had that chance. So I related to Reese Witherspoon and Vince Vaughn, like frustration at driving everywhere. And yeah, for me, like I could have picked some like White Christmas, a classic, but you know me, I go for trash. So I'm choosing Four Christmases. I mean, it's got no Arnie, but it's got Vince Vaughn and... I mean, what's up to live? What do you guys feel about my pick? Has anyone actually seen this film? Because Joe has.
I've not.
Vince Vaughn,
though. No, Clarice
has, and enthusiastically Clarice has endorses bought. It.
No, I don't remember anything. I've watched it. I don't remember anything about it.
that's quite good.
I remember that Reese Witherspoon looked extra small. She looked so tiny next to Vince Vaughn.
Yeah,
because I don't know if that was tall. Casting.
Massive.
Oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, he's tall and she's small, but it just accentuated her smallness. And it's like,
because wasn't the poster back in that weird phase in Hollywood where people lent on each other quite a lot? And I think the poster is like Vince Vaughn and they're leaning on each other. So she looks very, very small in comparison. Yeah.
I've just searched it now. She's like stood on like four Christmas boxes to match his
eyes. Oh my god. That was the central joke of the film is. Reese Witherspoon's quite short.
I'm sorry, Dan. Like, I'm never going to watch this film. But I feel like, by the way, I feel like Dan has a good point about like cinema and memories, because I went to go see Bad Moms Christmas drunk with my friend. That's now one of my favorite Christmas films.
Yes.
Because I had such a good time watching it. Like, it's like totally get Dan's point, even though I will never see Four Christmases. I'm sorry. But just
get drunk, Emily, again. Just do it. Yeah, so anyway, that's mine. It's not going to win tonight. I know it's not, but hey-ho.
No.
Reese Witherspoon, grow taller. And finally, we're going to go to Joe with his pick.
Yeah, and everybody's going to hate me because this is a bit of miscommunication on mine and Dan's part, because I saw a message between him and Gary saying It's a Wonderful Life has been taken. So I assumed somebody Dan had messaged had taken. But no, Dan had kindly... put that aside for me. So I do thank you, Dan, but I do feel guilty because I know everybody else was very keen to talk about It's a Wonderful Life.
Mary, I know what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day and next year and the year after that. I'm shaking the dust of this crummy little town off my feet and I'm going to see the world. Italy, Greece, the Parthenon, the Colosseum. Then I'm coming back here and go to college and see what they know. And then I'm going to build things. I'm going to build airfields. I'm going to build skyscrapers 100 stories high. I'm going to build bridges a mile long. Were you going to throw a rock? Hey, that's pretty good. What'd you wish, Mary?
Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Can't you come out tonight? Buffalo gals, can't you come out tonight?
Dance by the light of the moon. What'd you wish when you threw that rock?
Oh, no.
Come on, tell me.
If I told you, it might not come true.
What is it you want, Barry? What do you want? You want the moon? Just say the word and I'll throw a lasso around it and pull it down. Hey, that's a pretty good idea. I'll give you the moon, Mary.
I'll take it. Then what?
Well, then you could swallow it, and it'd all dissolve, see? And the moonbeams would shoot out of your fingers and your toes and the ends of your hair.
Am I talking too much?
Yes. Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
How's that?
Why don't you kiss her instead of talking her to death?
Want me to kiss her, huh?
Oh, youth is wasted on the wrong people.
Hey.
It's a Wonderful Life, for me, is a very special film, not just Christmas time, but in general. Anyway, like you, Emily, what I found really interesting is that what you were saying about like growing up and watching Christmas films, It's a Wonderful Life, never watch with my family. It's weird, I think, how families have their go-to Christmas films and that's it. So I don't think I saw It's a Wonderful Life till probably like late 20s. And I came about it because of my love of Jimmy Stewart. I absolutely adore James Stewart. I think he is one of the most charismatic actors to have ever appeared on screen. And I came across James Stewart, not in It's a Wonderful Life. I came across him in a film called Harvey, which isn't a Christmas film, but one of my favorite films of all time, because I was going through a rough period. I wasn't very happy. I was a little bit depressed. And I remember being so depressed, I was sent home from work, sorry to bring the mood down. And I just watched, like, I think I caught Harvey on like film four, like at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I just completely was transfixed by this actor. And he's got such these great moments in there. There's like a scene where he monologues and it's just a beautiful film. And it's got one of my all time favorite lines in it. And following that, I just kind of, like you do when you come across somebody who you're like, this guy's great. I just basically binged like the back catalogue and watch whatever I could get my hands on Jimmy Stewart. I even follow the Jimmy Stewart Museum. There's a museum in America where Jimmy Stewart is from, and I even follow them on Twitter. And so I watched like, obviously, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, which he obviously collaborated with Frank Capra, and films like Man Who Shot Liberty Valance, and so on and so forth. So the last kind of the natural conclusion was It's a Wonderful Life. And that could have been a better choice, really, because for me, it is that film which we've discussed. You know, it has got that darkness that we've all kind of brought into our Christmas films. It has got that darkness. And what I love about it is the story behind it as well. The fact that when it was released, it wasn't even that successful. And it's only been following, you know, its release that people have kind of really taken to it and really loved it. And I think it's a very important film in general. I think it's very important around Christmas, because we've all talked about, and Clarice summed it up perfectly with Gremlins, about those pressures around the Christmas period. I think we all sometimes feel so pressured to like live up to a standard of Christmas. Like the people have that quintessential image of what Christmas should be like. It's a Wonderful Life kind of delves into that darkness. It delves into even suicide around Christmas time, which is a special time of year and which people wouldn't usually associate with us, that type of thing. And I think it's important because, like, again, Clarice said with Gremlins, these films are all about consumerism. Hamish with Jingle All the Way, about consumerism. And It's a Wonderful Life's central message is that, you know, it's the people around you, it's the decisions you make in life, it's the bonds that you make through your life, which are the most important thing you have in your life. It's not about Turbo Man or PlayStation 5 or whatever. It's about those bonds and that final line of, you know, no man is a failure who has friends.
Yeah.
Just absolutely like one of the all-time great like last lines of a movie or whatever. It's just a beautiful moment in cinema, and it just never fails to make me like happy cry. And it genuinely is that type of film where no matter how many times you watch it, I still cry. There's some films you watch and you cry the first time, and then after the 10th time you're like, yeah, I get it. But like this film just makes me bawl like a baby every time I see it. And no matter how much of a bad mood I'm in before I watch it, it is guaranteed to lift your spirits up by the end of it. I just think it's got a brilliant, probably James Stewart's best performance, I would argue, and Frank Capra's probably best film, and it's just beautiful and lovely, and it reminds people of what is really important, and I think that's why it's my favorite Christmas film. And again, it's weird because I never watched it growing up. Never watched it growing up, but it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful film.
Oh, that's some lovely choices there. Go on, Gary.
Oddly, it was on earlier this afternoon on film four. Yeah, so I watched it again. In bits at the start, in bits throughout the middle, gone to bits completely at the end. I've lost count the number of times I watched this film, and it is just brilliant. It is my favourite all-time film, let alone my favourite Christmas film. So to be able to sit through it and watch it, as you say, it died. It died a death in the box office when it came out in the 40s, and when it found its feet was in the 60s. I think NBC bought it and started putting out on their channels, and then said, oh, we'll put it out around Christmas time. And all of a sudden, it found its audience through TV viewing. So it became a tradition in America that every Christmas they would have, usually on Christmas Eve, a screening of It's a Wonderful Life, and pretty much everyone in America would down tools and just watch. And now when you watch sitcoms, you watch things like Cheers and lots of those American sitcoms in the 70s and 80s, there are references constantly to It's a Wonderful Life. So yeah, I was in my 20s when I saw it first, but I knew all about this film before I'd even seen it. And obviously there have been TV sitcoms and films that have actually taken the basic premise of It's a Wonderful Life and used it for comedy purposes. Yeah, what would it happen if you'd never existed, kind of thing. I did it myself on the old TV show I used to do. So to finally sit down and watch it and to just fall to pieces was just joyous. And it happens every time I watch it that I'm always in tears because it's just perfectly designed, I think.
It's also in Gremlins, isn't it? They show it on the TV when she's in the kitchen.
That's right.
And so it's again like about that the capitalism creeps in then, because he says to Mr. Potter, doesn't he? He says, you know, you remember the people in this community, you know, living and working and dying, and you know, like, and it's so powerful when he makes that speech. That's one of the, I think, the best speeches like in film as well. It's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, excellent choices there. And you've all made good arguments for your Christmas films, but we're going to have to decide which is the supreme of the Christmas films. Jingle All the Way. I'm just kidding. So we're going to play a game now, because all good Christmas parties, we have to have a good bit of a game. And today's game, I'm going to share on screen now. So fingers crossed this works. Here we are. So this is the Christmas film wheel, okay? So each one of you are going to have a go at spinning this wheel. Obviously, I'll press it for you because it's all virtual. we're not going to do a Price is Right. And whatever film it lands on, it might be the Christmas film that you know a lot about. It might be a Christmas film you know nothing about. I'm going to ask you a question based on that Christmas film, okay? If you get it right, you are on top, okay? And you have a chance to nominate your favourite Christmas film. So, for example, if Emily goes first and she gets a question right, she might say, A Muppet's Christmas Carol, I want to nominate that. However, she might choose another Christmas film, and that's absolutely fine as well. She might be blown over by Joe's speech, I don't know. Okay.
And bear in mind, I'm not taking part, by the way. I'm not taking part.
Joe's not
taking
part.
If anybody wants to see It's a Wonderful Life, it's yours.
So, once Emily's gone, then whoever is next, X will spin the wheel. If they get their question right, they can either boot off Emily's choice and choose their own, or they can stick with the last person's choice, okay? Is everyone clear on the rules? Any questions?
What do we do when we get four Christmases? Because no one's seen
Well, I'm hoping that happens.
So bad at trivia.
Well, Theresa's seen it, but she can't remember it. Don't remember. We'll see what happens.
If the question is, which out of Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon is shorter? Fine.
How many presents does Reese Witherspoon stand on during the
film? In the film Four Christmases, how many Christmases were being celebrated? I got it.
Emily, are you ready to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's spin the wheel. Here we go.
Oh, it's going.
Spinning. It's spinning. Oh, she's got Jingle All the Way.
If I get this right, it's a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Since I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So actually, the questions I've got, some of the answers have been given already during their speeches. So, okay, you should get this one, Emily. So this is about Jingle All the Way. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. What is the name of the fictional toy that every child wants for Christmas in 1996's Jingle All the Way?
I asked about this. So Turbo Man.
Yes.
Yes, right? Correct. Well done. Well done. Okay, so Emily, which film are you going to nominate? Are you going to nominate your own, or are you going to nominate someone else's?
I love It's a Wonderful Life, but it doesn't star Kermit the Frog. So
that is true.
Muppet Christmas Carol.
Brilliant. Okay, so Muppet Christmas Carol is currently at the top. Clarice, you're going to go next. So you ready to spin the wheel?
God. Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, here we go.
Spinning the wheel.
God, please be Nightmare Before Christmas. I know everything about that movie. I literally know it off by heart.
Oh,
is it?
It's looking Die Hard.
Okay. Die Hard. Here we go. So this is your question for Die Hard. Which month did Die Hard originally get released in the US in 1988?
Ooh.
That's a difficult question.
It wasn't at Christmas. I feel like it was like July.
You're going to go for July?
Yeah, I guess like July sounds right to me.
And you are correct, Clarice.
Why do I randomly know what really Die Hard came out? I think I just somehow absorbed that piece of information off the Wikipedia page.
So, Clarice, anyway, you have a big choice now. You can either boot off Emily's Muppets Christmas Carol in favour of your own Christmas film, or you can stick with Emily's one.
I might throw a curveball because I am a giant goth and I grew up the biggest Tim Burton stan. And the thing with Night Before Christmas is that I don't specifically consider it a Christmas film because it's an all year round, like Halloween never ends movie. But I kind of just want to say Night Before Christmas because, as I said, I know every single word of that movie off by heart.
Okay.
So interesting.
So yeah, because no one else is going to pick it, so I'm going to give it.
Okay.
Brilliant. So David, your turn next. You ready to spin the wheel?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
I really feel for the person who's going to get four Christmases.
I'm just saying the arrow's on four Christmases right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just fate. It's because I made a joke about it. It was. Life is punishing me because I joked about it.
Okay, so it's on Four Christmases. So get ready for this, David. Okay, this is your question for Four Christmases. Which Broadway star plays Reese Witherspoon's sister Courtney in Four Christmases?
Broadway star? Idina Menzel?
I have mentioned a name already.
I can't remember you saying it.
She was in Wicked.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah,
I just said Idina Menzel. Is it?
Okay, no, incorrect.
No.
Kristen Chenoweth.
Yeah, correct, Gary. Kristen Chenoweth. Oh,
the
well
one
done,
who
David.
Always,
so,
opera screams.
Yeah.
You know how Kristen Chenoweth always walks into a room and she's like, ah! Terrifying. She's terrifying, but I love her.
I just wish David had said Idina Menzel as the way John Travolta.
Oh, John, we love you. So Clarice is still on top now with A Nightmare Before Christmas. Here we go. Okay. So you're on The Nightmare Before Christmas, Gary.
Okay.
So this is your question. What is the name of the title character in The Nightmare Before Christmas?
Jack Skellington.
Well done, Gary. He's got it. Well done. Brilliant. So, Gary, you have a choice now. You can either dismiss Clarice's choice of A Nightmare Before Christmas, or you can choose your own one, or you can continue with Clarice's choice. What are you going
to
do?
How many more to answer after this?
Three.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to put the pressure on you guys, and I'm going to choose Four Christmases.
Oh!
That's hard.
Yes,
I am
Gary.
Evil man.
Okay. Oh, Gary, well done. Dear.
So come on, up your game, people. Get rid of this for me.
All right. Hey, Mish, is your go next? You ready to spin the wheel?
Ready.
Gremlins.
Okay, Gremlins it is. Are you ready for your question, Hamish?
Yes.
Okay, this is quite a tricky one because I was surprised by this. Sorry. which actor voices the character of Gizmo in 1984's Gremlins?
Oof.
What?
That is really tough.
That is very difficult. I honestly have no idea at all. I'll just go with a sort of generic 80s actor. Let's go Matthew Broderick.
Incorrect. It's not right. Clarice, do you want to tell him or shall I?
I can't. It's someone really random, like Alex Trebek or something. It's like a TV host, did it?
Yeah,
I can't remember which
he's,
one.
He's one of the panelists from America's Got Talent, isn't it? Is yeah. It Howie Mandel, is it?
Yes, correct, Gary. Howie Mandel. Right. I can't believe that. That's mad. Brilliant. Okay,
record,
so.
I would have kept four Christmases.
So we've kind of, what are we going to do now? Because all five are done.
Yeah. So Dan, you've won your challenge.
No, I haven't. We can't have four Christmases, Joe. Joe, you have to go. Joe, you have to do this.
Okay.
You have to go.
Okay. All right.
Here we go, Joe.
I feel like a lot of pressure has fallen on me now.
Oh wow.
Basically, Joe, Christmas is ruined.
I know. Oh dear me, I wish I hadn't drunk so much now. Right. Focus.
So a Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Okay.
You'll 100% get this. So, this is your question. Who plays the title character Ebenezer Scrooge in A Muppet's Christmas Carol?
Michael Caine.
Yay! Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Sorry, Vince Vaughn.
Okay, so I feel bad now because the choice is on me and I don't want to make the choice.
What gives you that victory, Joe? Think of what gives you the victory.
I'm definitely not choosing four Christmases, that's for sure. Sorry, Gary. I think the kind of neutral way of doing this is we just stay up super late and we watch all of them back to back to a film marathon, and we'll end on It's a Wonderful Life, and we'll all feel very grateful to be alive and, you know, happy and have friends and family around us.
Right. So so jingle all the way it is then?
Jingle all the way.
Yay! Brilliant. Oh, well, there we are, Joe. Thanks for doing that.
I love how evil Gary was. He's like proper like bad Santa there, choosing four Christmases.
I just popped my head and thought, oh, hang on. There's some few more to answer. Oh, I know what I can do here.
Oh, well, it'll find its audience somewhere. I'm sure people love just Vince Vaughn and Reese Witherspoon somewhere.
Can I just say, before we wrap things up and let everybody go, because there is a Saturday night and I know Strictly is on and so on and so forth, great choices of films, because when we first came up with the concept and we were messaging people, I thought we were going to get an Elf. I thought we were going to get a Home Alone. I thought we were going to get all like the kind of generic Christmas movies, but everybody has sort of chosen like a left field kind of choice. So great choices of movies from everybody, I've got to say.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful night. Thank you so much, all, for coming over to our Christmas dinner. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Hope you're nice and merry now, ready to party in the club, maybe on a Saturday night, COVID restricted. But before we all go, obviously, would you all like to plug yourselves now and just tell our listeners where people can find you and maybe any projects you've got coming up in 2021, potentially? Hamish, we'll go to you first, all the way in Ireland. Obviously, where can people find you online?
The best place probably find me is just on my Twitter, so it's at Hamish Calvert. I also run the blog HD Movie Reviews, so there's loads of really good writers on there and firing up content. So just on the Twitterverse, really, that's where you can find me, and hopefully just have some interesting reviews and articles coming up in the new year. So that's where I'm at.
Amazing. And Hamish, I'm serious now. If you want a co-host job, Joe can go, honestly. I'm telling you right now.
Will you get over it? Please, will you get over it? Ever since Hamish has been on. Hamish.
I want an affair, Joe.
Honestly, an affair. Get over it.
Brilliant, Hamish. Thank you again for coming on. And Jingle All The Way is going to be on repeat until Christmas. David, what about you? Where can people find you online?
Yeah, similarly, you can get me on Twitter at David Osgar, OSGAR. I'm on Letterboxd with the same name, and a lot of my work then is on website they run, which is freshtakehub.com, and that's where you can also find my podcast with myself and my fellow co-hosts, which couldn't be here today, Craig McDonald. We will ourselves be doing a Christmas Endgame special this year, so on Christmas Day we'll have this massive game in which we're putting previous guests to the test. Dan and Joe already had to endure like our last one back in September, but yeah, we're going to have some Christmas fun on this one. So we were robbed
on the last day. And I've just got to give a shout out, David, as well, to the Mandalorians, which I know isn't film related, but I'm very, very much enjoying this at the moment. And I know Clarice and Emily are big fans of the Mandalorian.
That happens to us all the time.
Yeah. David, with through Fresh Take, currently does a podcast every Monday, the Mondaylorians, and I am very much enjoying that every Monday, deep dive into each episode of The Mandalorian, and it's getting through my Mondays in work, so yeah. Definitely go and check that out while you can.
And we did a special as well, talking about all these Star Wars announcements that just come out on that Investor Day, in which our host Niall did the same thing. He was just like, oh, I was just watching The Mandalorian. He was like, Mandalorian. It's like, yeah. Keeps happening. So yeah, check that out too, guys. It's all on Fresh Take Up.
And speaking of punny podcast names, I mean, Emily Murray is the queen of this, right? Can we just establish that right now? So, Emily, obviously, you've done Nolan Me, Knowing You. You're on the Fincher Takes It All. What's next for Emily Murray?
Maybe Take a Chance on Me. I don't know. I'm sure Clarice is down for that, as Taika Waititi's number one fan. But I feel like my life has no purpose next year with no Nolan movie. So I'm just going to have to watch Tenet over and over again. I don't know. Fincher Takes It All isn't quite done yet. I have to do, like, I think I'm going to look at Mindhunter next. I've actually seen it. Yeah, so I think it'd be good to, like, watch Mindhunter and do a pod about it. Well, a special episode. So maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
And recently I listened this week actually to yours and Clarice's episode on Gone Girl. Very, very good stuff as well. So
we love Gone Girl.
yeah I loved listening to it, and as always, it's you get great guests, great talk. So yeah, definitely check that out as well. It's very good stuff.
Definitely. And don't, you know, keep going with Tenet. It could be like the 72nd time you've seen it and it'd be like, welcome back, guys.
I just want to spend time with Neil. That's what I want to do.
Neil.
Like, oh, Neil. My favourite bit about that film is that Robert Pattinson's hot character is called Neil. No surname. Neil, full stop.
Just released an episode which is completely in reverse. Just like the entire speech is like reversed. David, and everyone's like, what's happening?
Amazing. And Clarice, what about you? Where can people find you online?
Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Clarice Liu. Just start typing my name in and it'll turn up eventually. I also have a podcast. If anyone likes the TV show American Horror Story, which I know not many people do, but my friend, I'm doing it with my friend Anna Bogutskaya, and we've been watching the whole show from episode one, season one, and we're halfway through Coven at the moment. So strong witch puns, lots of digressions about, sometimes I just tell her bits of Greek mythology and she cracks up. She finds it really funny for some reason. So if you're into that, I have completely put everyone off this podcast, but
Oh, we love witch puns. It's great. And finally, Gary, where can people find you? Obviously, you're on the radio a lot of the time. Any other projects coming up?
Between 3 and 4 Radio Wales every Friday, talking films with Larry Sean. New Year, I'm working New Year's Day. Later on in the afternoon, it's kind of 4 till 5, I think, 5 till 6 that afternoon, where I'm looking back at my top 10 films of this year. We've got, we created these characters early summer called Wyn and Viv, two West Whalian Hill farmers. And the first thing we had them do was to commentate on a fashion show. And obviously it turned out just as badly as you'd expect, because hillbillies talking about haute couture is not particularly impressive, especially as they swear like troopers as well. And it took off 50 odd thousand views on YouTube, so we've made a few more. And we're in studio next week doing the Wyn and Viv Christmas special, which is the Horeb Young Farmers Club Christmas Awards. And all we've done is take red carpet videos from the Oscars in the 80s and the odd speech by Oscar winning actors, and we're just dubbing them into Welsh. And the winner of Best Barn for this year is Denzil Penberth, and of course we've got Denzel Washington. So yeah, that'll be a laugh. And my mother keeps saying, could you just cut down on the swearing? And I say, well, seeing as you're not the target audience, clearly we're not going to do that. So yeah, that's the next one.
Oh, die out, Gary. We look forward to it. And a big thank you to everybody for coming on the show today. It's been a lot of fun. Hope you've had a nice time. We've had a good drink as well. And we can just forget that 2020 happened, you know? It's all going to be fine in 2021. Don't worry. Fingers crossed.
Hopefully, we'll get to see some films in a cinema, maybe, hopefully, 2021. Who maybe. Knows?
And a massive Merry Christmas and a Happy Christmas to everybody listening. Yeah. Hope you have a lovely time with your families and all the best. And yeah, we'll see you very, very soon. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye. We'll be right back.